Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
You know, I want to get the word for a minute. Matthew 4:17, that Jesus, when he first began to speak, you know what he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Man, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, change how you think. Man, give your thought life, give your mindset a 180 turn, all right? And why? Because God's way of doing things is at hand. The way God does things, let me tell you, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulder. And God didn't send Jesus to establish a religion or a better belief system. God sent Jesus to establish a government on this earth. And we're ambassadors for Christ. When I speak, it's not me who speaks, but Christ who speaks in me. And see, we've got to remember this. But see, God sent a governor to govern the new territory and the new established place that he has for his people. And that's the person of the Holy Spirit. So we've got to understand, listen, the purpose, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not a wind. Holy Spirit's not mystic. Holy Spirit's not spooky. Holy Spirit's a person. And really honestly, as he is every day of every year, but the day we're living in right now, very busy person right now. He's about the Father's business. See, what Jesus said is, the things you hear me say, it's only because I've heard my Father. And what he said of the Holy Spirit is that what the Holy Spirit speaks of is what he hears from our Father. You know, because he's referred to as the Holy Spirit, that means in our atmosphere, there's unholy spirits. Man, you've got to, by your thoughts, by your words, by your actions, you open the door and submit your life to whatever kind of spirit. Man, you speak God's word, it's spirit and truth. The truth brings God's spirit into the mix. See, that's what God gives us. And let me tell you, he's our ever-present help. God's present right now. This is a live broadcast on the internet. Unfettered, unfiltered, just real, raw, sheer. That's what you're getting. And I'm telling you, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. No weapon formed against you will prosper. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And now listen, we have to understand that the works that Jesus, that we read about Jesus, will do, but greater, because he goes to the Father and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. See, you've got to recognize that in Jesus' ministry on this earth, man, for 3.5 years, the Holy Spirit lived in him and him alone. But then, you know what happened? Man, he died on the cross. Man, everybody took notice that the veil was rent now. There was no barrier between mankind and the God who loves them dearly. He was put in a tomb. He descended into hell. He defeated death in the grave. He brought back the keys. And you know what? He walked out of that tomb. But understand, the work wasn't done. Okay? The finished forgiveness of God, that blood was shed and a life was given. So there's a life for life exchange happened on the cross. But then for over a month, Jesus walked on the earth. And in that month, he revealed himself to people. In that month, man, after the resurrection, listen to this, man, people began to believe from all corners of the earth, where he came and he said, look at my wounds. Here, Thomas, you can touch it if you want to, because I'm real. See, that's what you've got to understand. If you're taking notes tonight, just write down, he's real. I remember when Jesus made himself real to me, man, in darkness and a sinner. Man, I was so far from God, it was ridiculous. And then Jesus made himself real to me. And I turned to Billy Ablin, who's watching right now from Memphis. I turned to Billy Ablin, a dear friend of mine, maybe at that point, pound for pound, the toughest guy I knew. Still is. But I turned to Billy Ablin, and he looked at my face. Evidently, I was white as a ghost. And he said, man, what is going on? I said, man, this Jesus stuff is real. And I said something other than stuff because I was a sinner. Sinners don't say stuff, they say other things, but I'm a preacher now. So I said, man, this Jesus stuff is real. You know, it wasn't that I saw this bearded guy with sandals and a robe. It's because the Holy Spirit illuminated Jesus to me. He reveals Jesus to us. See, but once we give our lives to Jesus, he wants to, see, when I say, God, forgive me of my sin, I make Jesus the Lord of my life, he sweeps my heart clean. He cleans me out. And then what needs to happen is the Holy Spirit comes into me, comes upon me and into me and fills that house. But you know what? Now I've got to renew my mind. See, that's what Peter said in the second chapter of Acts in the 38th verse. He said, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Man, receiving Jesus is receiving his word. That's what that is. The promises to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We've got to repent and be immersed or be baptized in the word of God, the word of truth. So here's the marching orders that we have. It's spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit and truth. Man, say that with me a couple times. Spirit and truth, spirit and truth. And you'll say, well, is it an equal measure? Yeah, I'm just telling you, man, we need all of God that we can get. How does that happen? It comes by the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word. See, that's where we are now. That's what things are about. Let me move on to my notes, because we've got an really super exciting time. In Genesis, the first chapter in the 26th verse, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That's who we are now. Man, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Man, you camera guys, Christians, man, raise your hand if you're a Christian. There you go. Two Christian camera guys, all right? So we look at it now. Now you're in his image and his likeness. It's like, man, I'm like him. So how is that? That's how I think. That's how I speak. That's how I act. Man, to say God looks like me would be absurd. Okay? But he's a spirit, and we worship him. Listen, here it goes again, in spirit and in truth. He said, look, make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over everything, everything. And then verse 27 in Genesis, the first chapter, man, after he said in 26, after he said, and let them have dominion over everything. See, we've got to understand that this all works in our behalf. See, let me tell you a story before we go to 27. And I don't even think we'll go to 27. Just read that on your own. See, when a country establishes a new territory, man, that country takes on all the dominion and all the authority. But what that country will do is that country will send somebody and he'll act as a governor over that territory. So now what that governor establishes is a language and customs. And that's what builds our culture. Language and customs, okay? See, and what happens is that governor said, we seceded from Great Britain. If we hadn't have, if we were still a territory, we'd all be driving on the left side of the road. It's weird, okay? But I'm telling you, our forefathers said, we're gonna break free. They're taxing us without representation. And at some point, they're gonna make us drive on the left side of the road. We can't have that. We're not Great Britain, we're America. We're Americans, so we seceded. But here's the deal. The way this works is God sends a governor, that governor's the Holy Spirit. And what he's gonna establish are two things. He's gonna establish the language and the customs. That creates the culture. So if you look at your life, if you're in debt, if you're sick, if you're worried, let me repeat that. If you're worried, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. What are you going to gain in your life by worrying? If you say, yeah, but all the news makes me worrisome, that's real easy. Shut the news off. Just go like this. Boom. if it's 1968 and you still have a TV, that you do that. Otherwise, do this. I think you do this right here. Some of you can even speak to your television and say, hey, Alexa, turn off the TV. I don't need any more fear in my life. See, the bottom line with this is, I'm a Renaissance guy. Man, I could speak to the old people that had a dial and the young people that could just speak. Man, try to find some old guy that can work Alexa. Is it Alexa or Alexis? Is it plural, Alexis? No, that's Lexus, that's a car. I'm a Ford guy. Anyway, without a tree, see, what happened was, I don't know where I was going there. You don't either, so we're all in the same boat, all right? But what happens is God sent, Jesus said, I must go, so the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come upon you. Another paraclete, another one like, just like me. See, the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I know Jesus. I know Jesus because I know His Word. See, so if I know God's Word, then I know Jesus. If I know Jesus, I know the Holy Spirit, because he said, it's just like me. See, it brought them so much discomfort when Jesus ascended into heaven. It's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Man, when Jesus died on the cross, they all freaked out, but that's my Easter message. We don't freak out, man. We're believers. We're not doubters, man. We don't freak out. See, and we've got to look at it and understand that we were a leaderless people and then Jesus. See, because the enemy doesn't get out in front of us and lead us. The enemy gets behind us and pushes us. He's a pusher. Jesus is a leader. The Holy Spirit is our leader, our governor on this earth. Man, where we establish the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, that's what we have to be. In Proverbs 4:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Man, you worry, it'll lead to death. You're anxious. Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. The Bible says, through every trial, just be thankful. Listen, not for it, but in it. Man, are we going to get through this? Yes. See, the solution of every problem in the world is the person, the purpose, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have a relationship with Him. He's got to be more real to you than anything that you watch on in the media or that you, more than anything. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. Every person's trying to fill a void in their life. And the Bible says, whatever seems right. Man, no, I want God's plan, God's purpose, the Holy Spirit to fill whatever void that's in my life. You know, I tell you, through this time, I see so many people that are tipping and falling and crumbling and cowering as victims. Man, let me tell you, you're not a victim. Greater is He who's in you than he is in the world. You're created in Christ Jesus for great works. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do, but greater, because I go to my Father. See, I'm not living my life. I'm not preaching right now just in my own platform. I'm preaching off the shoulders. Remember, the government will be on his shoulder. I'm preaching off the shoulder of Jesus. Man, the idea of this, the greatest promise that God ever made to me is the Holy Spirit. Man, the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I spoke in an unknown tongue, so weird, so funky, but so powerful, so emotional, but so purpose-filled. I'm telling you, I made Jesus Lord of my life, and I thought, oh, that's cool, but I'm a step out of the world. That's how I felt. I'm one step out of the world. The world's still right here. And then God filled me with this Holy Spirit, and it launched me into a whole new life that now, almost 41 years later, man, I'm still living that life. See, we've got to understand how great the greatest promise that we could ever get is the promise of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the baptism, the immersion of the Holy Spirit. Man, you ask God for it, He's not going to give you something else. He's going to give you the real deal. He doesn't dwell in temples made by hands anymore. He dwells in people. In Romans, the 8th chapter and the 26th verse, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Oh, good. That's amazing. I get all tingly. No, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. How do we know that? Because the Spirit of God is searching our hearts and we're finding God's will. Man, it's so real. It's so amazing. Pray this with me. Because for whom He foreknew, He also predestined and to be conformed into the image of His Son. See, that's what I'm praying right now, is that conforming nature of the Holy Spirit brings you into line with Jesus. So we're not those people that look into the Word as a mirror and see who we really are and then walk away and forget who we are. No. We're children of the Most High God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Whew. God, I just thank You right now in the name of Jesus for the work You're doing in people's lives. God, we're a fired up people. We're not a back off or a back down people. We are a fired up, take new ground and elevate people in Jesus' name. God, I thank You that Jesus is Lord of our lives. Therefore, we're going to heaven. We'll never smell the scent of hell. We have no fear of death. God, no pestilence by day or terror by night. God, I thank You in Jesus' name that we rise above the storm that the world's that's building all over the world right now. God, I thank You that You elevate Your church. God, You elevate this church. You elevate churches all over Tulsa, all over Oklahoma, all over America, all over the world in Jesus' name. God, as we stand praying right now, we forgive anybody of anything. Anything that's ever happened in our lives, God, people have done us wrong. God, please forgive them. We forgive them because You first forgave us. Say this with me. Father God, I give You my life. I've done it 100 times, God. Or maybe this is my first time. Jesus is Lord of my life. Man, just say it again. Jesus is Lord of my life. It's so refreshing. There's a time of refreshing that'll come into your life right now, just confessing Jesus is Lord of your life. Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'm trusting You, God. I don't trust what I see. I don't trust how I feel. I trust You. God, I thank You. Fear has no dominion in my life because You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God, I thank You that I possess a sound mind through all of this turmoil in Jesus' name. You know what I want you to do? I want you to call us. I want you to text us. I want you to email us. Man, just get on gutschurch.com and find a way. And I promise you, someone will respond. If it's in the middle of the night, it'll be in the morning. If it's in the morning, it might be late morning. But I'm telling you, we're here for you. No matter what, no one's going to judge you. Nobody's going to condemn you. And all you're going to get is forgiveness and gifts from us. Man, we'll give you the shirt off our back if we have to. Because the bottom line is, through this time, and I'm leading this army of people in Guts Church, we're taking new ground. Man, we're bringing captivity captive right now. Think about that during this quarantine. Everybody's held captive. Well, you know what God's Word instructs us? It instructs us to bring captivity captive. That's what we're doing. And I'll tell you, no matter what, come hell or high water, God's people prevail. Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ, always causes us to win, always causes us to overcome. Hey, we're overcomers. That's who we are. You know what I want to do? I want to segue now, but please, you've got to call us, you got to text us, you got to email us. We will help you. If you need groceries, come Friday at 10 o'clock. We'll throw them in your car or truck. Man, whatever we can do for you. Man, you guys were a part of Barefoot Sunday last week. Thank you so much. If you do some spring cleaning, drop your stuff off at the dock at the distribution center. Man, I couldn't be happier that you're on this broadcast right now. Man, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for giving. Thank you for committing to the tithe. Thank you for praying for this ministry and the people that we're reaching. Man, unreached people groups are going to be reached through this time. Hey, I want to welcome some guys up here. Let's do that. Welcome some guys. I think we got my son Taylor and his friend Ryan Bush. We got Opetta. Opetta, you want to say hi to everybody? We call him Big O. And I don't know why. I don't know how he got that nickname. So maybe he could tell us. Who took my coffee? Where's my coffee? I had my coffee right there. I just need a little coffee. Oh, yeah, and Caitlin's here too. Caitlin was here last week, and you know what? People wrote in and said, if Caitlin isn't a part of this, I don't want to watch it again.
Rioting. There would be rioting.
And so we got to represent. We're representing a little flash right here. I'm very colorful tonight. Uh-huh. You're very colorful. Ryan's nickname is Colorful Ryan, okay? And he's got all about it. And then we needed a mustache. So we got a mustache here tonight. A legit, real deal. Is it real?
Alexis.
Is it real? Hang on. Hang on. Let me see if that.
That would be Alexa, cue the panel. So we'll go ahead and get started.
That's a good one. See, that's why Caitlin's here.
That's what I'm here for. So we have some good questions tonight. I hope you guys are ready. I'm going to go ahead and kick this off. Pastor Bill, if you want to field it or send it their way.
I don't like you behind me like
that.
Sorry. Okay. All right.
First question. Actually, several people ask this. If we have dominion and authority on the earth, why is there so much sickness and or death?
It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Okay? In this world, the world's fallen. The world's broken. We're not, as a church, as a people, we're not here to fix the world. The world's, okay? We're here to establish God's kingdom.
Right.
Okay, I teed it up for Coach Bush, so.
Coach?
Wow.
No, I did. That was like a soft toss.
That's the first question.
Go ahead.
Sin entered the world. And I think the most important thing is our perspective and our perception on what's going on. If it looks like that there's something being killed, destroyed, or stolen, it's important that we identify it as the enemy.
Yeah.
And the world is in a pandemic right now, but the kingdom of God is not. And I think that that's important. Yeah. And I'm not gonna answer on death because I'm not God and that's not my job. My job is to submit to the word of God. And I know that right now things are being stolen and people are being killed and things are being destroyed, and that does not look like God. So my job as a believer is to execute the kingdom of God, which is what you were talking about earlier. And we probably should reference back to that. I mean, what are your thoughts on, obviously there's a pandemic going on in the world. God has given us rulership and authority. How do we execute that? I mean, how do you execute that? What are the things right now that we should be focusing on to make sure that we exert our rulership during this moment?
To me, you have to establish the plumb line. And the plumb line is real simple. We live in this world, but we're not of it. So I don't live my life in a pandemic. Not at all. I live my life in the finished work of Christ and God's plan for my life. So they make rules that I've got to drive 55. They make rules that I've got to stay in my house. They make rules. I adapt. See, the church has got to be nimble. We got to be able to pivot. We have to be able to. Let me tell you, how many people are watching tonight and will watch this archive? No way. This room could. This is 3/4 of an acre sanctuary. No way we could fill it with that amount of people. So now what are we doing? Man, the word's going to be preached. The word's going to go forth with power. See, that's the key, is we bring the purpose, the power, and the person of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't do this of our own volition. I can't give you good news on a pandemic when the forecast is horrific. But let me tell you, we could stand in the gap. Something the Lord showed me a couple days ago is Moses turned to Aaron at the door of the tabernacle. And he said, oh, God's ticked. I need you to, and Aaron's 90 years old. He said, go to the altar, grab the scepter, get some fire, and stand between the living and the dead. And I believe we can do that in our situation and the circumstances in our community right now. Like, is anybody in our households going to die from this? No. You know why? We're going to the altar, we're getting some fire from God, and we're standing between life and death. And you know what the Bible says? The plague stopped.
That's good. Next question. Taylor, I'll send this.
But sickness came in because of sin. And let me tell you, oh, it's always going to happen. See, you get a report of sickness. We heard a report. A guy's father-in-law's got stage 4 prostate cancer. My dad, my old man, was diagnosed with, had surgery with, they took out his prostate, didn't tell anybody, just went to the hospital, had it done, went home, a couple weeks later, said, a couple weeks ago I was in the hospital. I was like, how did I not know that? I'm your son. He goes, yeah. I said, what'd you have done? He goes, I had my prostate removed. I'm like, who goes to the hospital, drives themselves to the hospital, and then goes home and doesn't tell anybody? But did he live 35 years? You know why? Because the surgeon said, I think we got it all, and you're cancer free. He believed it. He went and lived.
Yeah.
Be wise to what's right, good, and be ignorant of evil. It doesn't say ignore evil. It says be ignorant of evil.
Well, and to me, it's that people are letting their minds run rather than keeping them locked in. I know that worry is such a thing that people deal with, yet I would answer that question with, people still worry, yet the Bible has a literal 100 verses about worry. And for me, all it's doing is, like you said, just it's trying to get our gaze off of Jesus and on other things to where that peace doesn't come in. And to me, it's just an attack of the enemy. And that's what that is. So for us, it's, are we going to allow, like I can speak for me in my home, fear has no place, that we can tread on scorpions and snakes and nothing will harm us. And that's, we stand on that knowing that, but does that mean that we're completely just go nuts with it and don't obey any of the rules or don't follow the rules or things like that? No, we still do that because there's wisdom in it, but we also don't live in fear or worry that if I go to Whole Foods, I'm going to come back with the coronavirus. And that's just, for me, it's about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping our attention on him, and keep pressing on towards that goal.
Yep.
That's good. The next question we got was from Dawson. He asked, how do you respond to family members who are in fear while being helpful, not critical? Ryan? Just kidding. Go ahead, Pastor Bill.
No, go ahead. No, Ryan's all ready to go, man.
Well, it's difficult because you don't know where people are at spiritually.
Here, can I preface this?
Yeah.
Ryan's a college soccer coach. He plays one of the top teams in the country and beats them.
Yes.
Shut them out. Okay. That happens all the time. Okay. Didn't let them have a shot on goal. See, that's what we need to speak to with this. We don't let this pandemic, not only is this pandemic not going to score against us, we're not even going to give them a shot. Okay, go ahead. I've just never heard that before.
Pose the question again.
Family members that are extremely fearful right now, how can you be helpful, not critical?
Helpful, not critical. I'm always going to revert to focus. For me, Matthew 6:22 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And that Greek word for good means singular. We've got to be singular focused. So immediately, if I'm communicating to somebody right now, I am trying to gauge where their focus is. And that's Matthew chapter 6. Later on in that same chapter, it says, do not worry. I don't think Jesus was really trying to communicate not to worry. I think he was trying to communicate, what are you thinking about? And I think we've got to attack what people are thinking. He said, if your eye is bad, and that Greek word for bad means distorted. Well, if you think about taking a picture and it's distorted, immediately your eye is going to go to the distortion. Immediately everybody's eye is going to go to the pandemic right now. We've got to get people focused. That's Matthew 6:22. If you go all the way down to verse 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We've got to get people focused on the kingdom. Sandwiched in between there, it says, do not worry and don't be given. You got to break the spirit of mammon. Don't store up treasures and riches. Yeah. We've got to get people out of self-preservation mode. Yeah. So I've been on this kick lately, and we talked about it a little bit today, but one of the first things that gets attacked whenever people in self-preservation mode is the tithe, because people don't want to give. They're preserving things, and I think we've got to get out of that mode. The first thing I'm telling people to do is I'm like, you tithe, because there's a process of that promise. The devourer is rebuked. The devourer is rebuked, and the heavens are open. And if you are walking through a pandemic, and the devourer is rebuked from your life, and the heavens are open, that's going to show. You're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And I think that's the opportunity we have right now to communicate to family members, to communicate to the world around us, and put the positive spin on it. You have to example this life, or there is no testimony to what I'm communicating.
Well, and for me, it's what are you filling your mind with during this time? Because you have so much time where if you were to have an issue before or something go on or something to be revealed to you about your own life, you would almost fill your time with things. Mm-hmm. You would have something every night, you'd be doing something all day, and you wouldn't have to deal with those things. I think that's a lot of people are having to deal with issues that they thought, let me hide this, mm-hmm. and then I don't have to mess with it. And then we get quarantined to where we're at home, and people are like, oh no, now I actually have to deal with things. So I would say, what are you filling your mind with? Like, have you been in the Word today? It's something my dad has asked me every day since I can remember, is have you been in the Word today? I think most people would say no, but they are caught up on Tiger King. And we know what you did, Carol. We know.
We do.
But they'll be caught up on things like that. And
what did Carol do?
To me, she killed her husband.
She fed her husband to tigers.
Shoot.
Check the septic tank. but...
Moving on.
Wow.
Yeah. But
I did not see that this going that direction.
Well, just fellow Oklahomans. But thanks for that banner for us. But no, it's what are you filling your mind with? Are you in the Word? Are you allowing the news to play more than you're listening to worship or reading the Bible or just spending time with God? Because then, yeah, you're going to freak out because everybody has information. Nobody has the same information and it's all bad. So for me, it's are you outweighing that with God's promise and God's word where, just like Ryan said, the tithe is the first thing to go because it's self-preservation. I'm keeping all my money, making sure everything's good. And you're looking at things and it's like, no, I'm going to rebuke the devourer from the midst of us. So yeah, I'm going to continue so this promise is then manifested in my life.
Well, and it lifts a curse off your life. And it can be spooky, but it's actually a suppression. So you withhold the tithe, there's a suppression on your life. You can't get out from under it. But God lifts that suppression and brings you into a blessing that lifts your life. See, and that's a simple thing. It's interesting because Adam and Eve fell, sin came into the equation, sickness came into the equation, and they hid from God. Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was physically. He didn't know. It's like, look, but he's asking him, where's your heart? And Adam comes out, he's clothed. He said, why are you wearing that? And he goes, because I was naked. God's response was, who told you were naked? Who told you you weren't going to make it through this pandemic? Who told you that times are going to be tough? Man, let me just tell you, I preached on it tonight, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That means this, we're dealing with this pandemic, but in the mix, it all works together for good. And God withholds no good thing from those who put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, keep God first. Okay? And the bottom line is, what's interesting, is a lot of bottom lines with me tonight. But the bottom line, which is interesting, is we ask and keep asking, we seek and keep seeking, we knock and keep knocking. Meaning, I'm going after more God. I've asked, but I'm going to keep asking. I've seek, but I'm going to keep seeking. I knocked, but I'm going to keep knocking. And man, I don't know if we're going to make it. Who told you we're going to make it? It's like the fellow that's got prostate cancer. Man, his son-in-law said, can you guys pray? And I said, yeah. Before I pray, though, before anybody prays, I want to tell you, that cancer can't kill him. Jesus set the precedent. They couldn't have killed Jesus unless he gave up his own life. Remember, you call yourself the king of the Jews? He said, that's what you say that I am. All you do is say no. But he said, that's what you say that I am. He said, look, I'm going to ask you one more time. He said, that's what you, he said, okay, I wash my hands of this. Let the people decide. He gave his life. See, that's the only, I gave my life to Jesus. I got nothing else to give. I've already given it away. I'm not going to give it. Death has no sting. We go from life to life.
Here's a good question that just came in from Steve Dixon. He asked, what advice do you have for frontline healthcare workers who are past the panic stage and are now dealing more with fatigue and the mental aspect of the high mortality rates?
Well, it's all perspective. And Steve, what I'll tell you, the Bible promises death comes and death goes. If you keep your head in that death, it allows it to stay and encamp in your life. But the way God does it is death comes and death goes. And let it go. And the bottom line is this, with the fatigue, that's where we put God first. That's where, yeah, sure, we eat right, you gotta move your body a little bit, walk, you've got to breathe right, stretch, all that stuff, okay? Drink water, you know all that stuff as a medical professional. But the key is, man, God's first. I'm just serving God here. I mean, there was a span of time where I averaged for over a year, I preached over 13 times a week. And you know, somebody asked me, how many times a year do you preach? And I'm like, and they were talking about weekends. And I thought they were, I'm thinking, well, what's 13 times 52? But the bottom line is that I look back at it and thought, man, it didn't, man, if what you're doing is the purpose of God in your life, all you have to do is say, God, I need your refreshing. And he gives it to us liberally without restraint. Because with wisdom comes that where all we're doing is applying God's principle into our lives. Because everybody can feel that way. I mean, you can't carry it. You're not the healer. God's the healer. I'm just telling you, God's a healer. We're just instruments. We're just conduits. All I'm going to do is speak life and health, and that's my responsibility. It's up to people to receive it.
Okay, moving on. I just want to say thank you to all the people in our church who do serve in hospitals, medical professionals, doctors, nurses. We know there are a lot of you. Hopefully you're tuning in right now and getting refreshed. But moving on, Shafe asked a question to Coach Bush here. How are your players doing with everything going on, and what are you doing interacting with them and also with your extra time?
I don't have extra time, Shafe. I have four kids under the age of five. We did a
team. Hey, can I tell you? This is every conversation you have with Coach Bush. He'll let you know how many kids he has.
It's exhausting.
And what age they're under. But go ahead.
Thank you. They are under five, so extra prayers. We did team building today at 4 o'clock, so we just keep on keeping on. We're doing the same thing from a remote location. And I think that we have presented it to our team as opportunity. because you've got to be adaptable. And we don't know what a season's going to throw at us. We don't know what Satan's going to throw at us. We don't know what the enemy's going to throw at us. And I think we've got to be forward thinking. We've got to lead from the front like that. It is all over the Word of God. Whenever there was pressure around people, it created the opportunity for elevation and promotion. And I have never seen in the Word of God where massive amounts of promotion have not come except under pressure. And I told my kids today, I said, and I'm not a scientist, so I may mess this up, but Newton's third law says that for every action, there's a corresponding action. So planes fly against the wind because it gets their wheels up first. And I think that the opposition that's been created because we have to go satellite is the same thing that everybody needs to be thinking right now. My team's in the same situation that every adult's in. There's opportunity around us because there's pressure. Daniel, before he got his first promotion, he got thrown into a fire. He didn't stand, he danced. And there was pressure to not obey God, and he followed and he submitted to the Word of God. Like I said earlier, Joseph fled sexual immorality, and he followed God, made right decision. There was pressure on him not to, and it propelled him into the palace. And I told my kids today, anytime we get the opportunity to take on pressure, we're going to go at it full force, like the plane, and we're going to soar. And flying is the safest way to travel. There's a reason, because you're in the air. Everybody else is on the ground. So I've got to take them. I've got to change their mindset. Listen, yeah, we don't get to go train as a group of 25, and every parent right now is, and every adult's going through the same thing. But this is opportunity for you to separate yourself because nobody is interacting with the situation that we're going through right now the same way. We've got to be kingdom. I'm bringing the kingdom into my program, and we're operating on those principles, period.
Well, and you're forced to bring the kingdom. Otherwise, you're isolated and locked in. But you bring the kingdom, and it brings liberty.
That's good. Okay, Kennedy asked, what are practical ways to keep the Holy Spirit strong in your life? Kind of going back to your message in the series you're in.
Yeah, it's our faith is like a muscle. And we're saved. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're enabled by God, empowered by God. By grace, his power, but it's all through faith. So that faith's got to be active. We got to activate our faith and we can't look, the Holy Spirit's not a wind, not a mist, not a cloud. He's a person. He has purpose. He has power. He has a personality. We can grieve him. He sees, he speaks, he hears. The Bible's real clear about all that. So we have to look at it. So relationally, we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person with a personality. I've got to get to know his personality. Honestly, I was excited that Coach Bush was going to be on because I love his personality. And I love being with Taylor. He's my son. He's my travel buddy all his life. But hey, Taylor, get in the truck. He heard that every day. The bottom line is that I know their personality. Mm-hmm. I know your personality. They said, hey, Caitlin's going to host tonight. I'm like, perfect. We're going to win because Caitlin's on the mound, and she's our ace. That's a baseball term.
I played 1 year of softball in the fifth grade. I was a left fielder. No one hit it out there, so pitcher's moving up.
At least you weren't. But let me tell you, if you're in right field, though, if you're a little leaguer in the right field, there's really no way to go down from there. I'm not judging.
Pinch hitting. That's it.
Okay. Jeremy asked, what does it mean to have authority in Christ? How do I know if I'm operating in it when I don't see change?
Well, I'll kind of break the ice on this one. You can't live by what you see. See, what you see was created by what you can't see. What you can't see is where the truth is. What you see is where the facts are. And let me tell you, some facts change just like you take a sledgehammer to a pane of glass. Other facts change and you're taking a sledgehammer to a block wall, and you'll hit it a couple times, and you'll think, oh, nothing's happening. No, you know what? It's beating down the everything that's going, all the joints and everything. And let me tell you, both of them are going to have, the same demise is going to be to both. And sometimes, man, the enemy's going to resist it and resist it and resist it. And you know what? And that's what Ryan was talking about with the stress. I think about it. On one hand, I've never been under greater stress in my life. Sandy, a month ago tomorrow, had a liver transplant. It's like, oh my gosh. And we're in a pandemic and we can't have church. We're sitting in an empty cavernous room right now. I can hear my voice echoing. But the bottom line is that, man, what do we have to do? We have to adapt. Man, what it's like is the pitcher's bringing, his delivery's coming from a different angle than what I'm used to. It doesn't matter. I just have to keep my eye on the ball. It's like this, Jeremy, it's like this. See the ball, hit the ball. It's that simple.
Well, and it's staying true to it. I think what's hard is we live in a generation where if you have a question, you can look on your phone. All of the information in the world is readily available. So we live in this, they used to say it's the microwave generation where that was the case. Now I think it's truly instant that we can get information. So I think what is hard is when we pray and don't see, or we believe and don't see something right away, we all of a sudden think that, oh, I'm not walking in the authority, or I don't have the power, or something's off, something's wrong, what's happening, unanswered prayers. I mean, that whole deal. When in all reality, we talked about Joseph, and from pit to Potiphar's house to the prison to the palace was like 30 years. But yet you're going to pray about your headache, and then when you say amen and still have the headache, all of a sudden it's God doesn't hear you, or you're not walking in authority, when that's not, that's just truly not the case. Where for me, I'm proving myself, I'm proving my faith by standing firm no matter what. No matter what things look like, no matter what's happening, I am still standing firm on the fact that I know God's promise and I will see it manifested in my life.
Katie asked, what are some ways to keep kids encouraged who just want to get back to normal life?
You control your home. You control the narrative of your home. I mean, what is normal, I would say. And at this point, it's an extended summer, so
well,
enjoy that. But for me, it's about, like, why do your kids know something's different? You control it. So we have been very, like, in our home, we have been very specific on how we talk. What is said. At first, it was just around the kids. Now it's inside of the four walls of my home. There are just things we don't talk about, that we don't mention because we are not giving it a place. So I would ask, like, how are you talking? How do your kids know that something is off or not normal? And you control it. I mean, have fun with them. This is an unbelievable time. Dad has said it multiple times over the past weeks, but it's unbelievable time for you to spend with your kids, for you to spend with your spouse. I mean, how often do you get to spend that time for multiple days? And not on vacation, you're at home. Not much you can do. You can only mow the lawn so much. So it's, you spend time and all of a sudden you realize this is becoming deeper, becoming better. It's not just we talk, she tells me what I'm doing wrong, and then we move on. It's that you truly can have a conversation, a relationship, when life has gotten in the way before that you can be a parent, you can be a husband, you can truly have that place in your home. And men, take control of your home. I think that's the biggest thing for me with all of this is we don't talk about it in our house. We're not giving the coronavirus a place in our home. If we want to talk about it, we can go on the back porch. But I'm not allowing it in my home because I am dictating the atmosphere of my house. My house is going to be peaceful. My house is going to be a place of rest and relaxation. And I'm going to allow God to have control.
Well, I watch it in Taylor's home. I watch it in Brooklyn's home. I'm telling you, we'll call Brooklyn or press, and I hear two little voices in the background. They just want mommy and daddy's attention. I mean, Charleston just wants, Taylor will FaceTime. They're climbing on him. And it's like, those kids are not tiring of being with their mom and dad. That doesn't happen until they're teenagers, okay? So you got kids under five. All his boys want, and they're all boys. And his wife's super happy about that. But he walks in that door. I'm telling you, they come running. And I think you have to plan on that. You know, I mean, learn a foreign language with your kids. You got that kind of time with you now. Man, read the word and then tell them in their vernacular so that they can understand it. Man, so that they grow up. Man, if his four boys, all under five, begin to have an understanding of the faithfulness of God and the purpose and the power and the person, the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm telling you, they are going to run through life at a breakneck speed. And I think that's the big key. But we look at it and go, oh my gosh, we can't go out to eat. Are you kidding me? See, when you look at it, the toxic side of this is so many bad, like liquor and drugs and internet and all kinds of other things are scaling up. People are gaining weight, all that stuff scaling up. It's like, wait a second. If things could scale up, let's let our relationship with God scale up. Let's let the strength of how about we scale up our marriage right now? I mean, my goodness. I mean, you look at it that there are things in the world that seem right to man, but they bring death. And see, I think that's something we can get a grip on right now. And for me to hear Taylor say, look, take control of your house, it's easy. It really is. I'm not telling you to take new territory. I'm not telling you to invent something. I'm not telling you to buy an office building. I'm telling you to set an atmosphere in your home. I mean, my gosh, we could do that with no money. We could do that with no entertainment. See, I think the simple thing about this, it's been real easy for me to boil things down to the simplest terms. Like I was talking to somebody today, and they said, "Man, I had to give the countdown to my kid 10 times today." And I'm thinking, "Countdown? What's a countdown?" And you know what he said? I said, "What is a countdown?" He said, "When I count to three, you better have this done." I had a countdown as well. I'm going to count to one.
Do you want to add anything to that?
I think it's schedule and order. Kids are encouraged to be home. And hopefully that's the environment you're creating inside your house. And I thought what Taylor said was awesome. But we have a responsibility right now to bring divine order into our home. And peace is always synonymous with order. And there's a reason, because it brings God's glory. And that's what I believe is going to happen. I'm at the house more. Man, there's going to be nothing broken, nothing lacking, nothing missing, and surely not encouragement is going to be missing. Kids should be having a blast right now, but you can't just let your house roll. There's got to be schedule. There's got to be order, because that's how we were created to function as believers, because that's what we see in the Old Testament, is we see a God that puts things in order. Right now, Turpin sent me the Turpin girl schedule, and we kind of jotted it down and readjusted it, so we're kind of rolling off of their schedule. But put things in order, and make sure that your kids aren't just sitting around being lazy and being bored, because that's where they get discouraged, is whenever you're out of routine, and then they get out of routine, and then they're like, they start getting antsy and anxious because they don't have anything to do, or you're not engaged because you're out of your routine. You've got to put your life in order, you've got to create schedule, and you've got to do it for your kids.
And that, I would say that answers the question. Your kids aren't wanting things to go back to normal. You are wanting things to go back to normal. So I don't recall the name that said it, but there is good news. You're going to make it. This isn't going to kill you. Just stay strong and show your kids how to remain so steadfast. One of the many, many things that I took away as a kid is I would have people come up and they're like, "Man, I see your dad on stage and preach. Can't imagine what that's like at the house." And I'm like, "You have no idea, because he is the exact same. and I've said it before from the stage, that he is so steadfast. Who he is on stage is who he is at home, is who he is with everybody. And I think now we have an opportunity where the only influence in your kids' lives are you. Mm-hmm. And that's, when else do you get that? You're getting teachers, you're getting Peppa the Pig. I mean, Charleston is just turned 4 and talks with a British accent. Like, she called it a commode. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But those are those influences where now, with the past 3 weeks, the only influence she has is William Taylor and Cassidy Ann. That is it. So we can control and help mold and shape and set up our kids for unbelievable success. I view this as an opportunity, not as a burden or, and I get it. I'm a dad. I spend 15 minutes with my kids. My tank is full. I am good. But I understand that it's needed. Mm-hmm. And I understand how vital it is and what a unique opportunity we have. I mean, people are talking about how the coronavirus of 2020 is just going to, it's going to be in history books. And I truly believe it is, but I'm believing it's going to be for the good rather than the bad. It's not going to be talked about the lockdown or the quarantine. It's going to be talked about how families became stronger because of the pandemic.
Well, and that ought to be what you set in front of you. What'd you get out of the pandemic? What'd you get out of the quarantine? Great kids. And see, you've got to be the parent. See, it's real easy. That the kids want to be the boss, and you can't let them. And that's where honor your father and mother, that your days will be long on this earth. That honor comes with, I'm doing it because my dad said, I'm doing it because my mom said. I coached football for years, and kids would come up to me through the years and say, man, I don't know if I love this. I'm like, well, why are you playing? Well, the only reason I play is because my dad wants me to. I'm like, you know, that's probably the greatest reason in the world for you to play. And I'm not, listen, I know that there can be an extreme to that. But with your kids, let me give you some practical advice with your kids. An equal measure of exercise, discipline, and love. An equal measure. And I'm telling you, you're going to have the most fulfilled kids that more than you could ever dream.
That's really good. I have another one for you from Amanda. This is your favorite scripture or a scripture to stand on for people in the health field, just to stay strong and focused. And going back to what you said about not being moved by what you see, just kind of an internal scripture to hang on to.
I would say Philippians 4:6. I mean, be anxious for nothing, and prayerful about everything. The health field, that's a dilemma right now. That's a difficult situation. And you've got non-believers and believers alike. But I'm going right there because what I talked about earlier with Matthew 6:22, be singular focused. We can't allow anxiety to creep in whenever we're trying to care for people. And it's difficult for me to be empathetic. I'm not a medical person. I don't like hospitals or blood or guts. I had 2 siblings that went that direction, and I thought they were throwing their life away. So I became a coach. But anxiety and fear, if we're not prayerful and we're not thankful, and time spent equals relationship, we've got to be a people that get ample amount of time with God. If we're thinking about the pandemic for 15 hours a day, yeah, and you're spending 10 minutes with God a day, you're gonna get outbalanced in one direction. We've got to be a people of severity of relationship. We have got to be so intentional. I think the scripture is important. Stand on it, but I just think the time we spend with God, getting ample time with God away from just thinking about, you know, walking into the hospital and seeing the people on the ventilator, and getting in a place where you can praise God and you can pray in the Spirit. And that for me is where I get the world off of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we also, again, a unique opportunity. It feels like the PC police has been suspended through this time, and we're seeing videos and different things happening where, to me, you could be an example through this time and how you react, the actions that you take, even your attitude, where praying for patients, I don't know if anybody's going to say anything right now because everybody is searching for something. Everybody's searching for something just to give them some hope. And we have the hope that doesn't disappoint.
Right on.
So it's, you have that opportunity where it's, well, I'm afraid to talk to them, or I don't know how they're going to react. Man, I think people are open to everything at this point. And if we want to go to scripture, this is going to sound so cliche, but I think it's so true. It's Philippians 4:13. It's when you walk into work, it's, man, you can do all things. Where, I don't know if I can do it today. No, you can. I don't know if I can put a smile on. Sure you can, because imagine that person that's sitting in that bed. They're looking to you for how they are going to react. They're looking to you for, are you walking in worried? Then they're going to be worried. Are you walking in confident? They're going to be confident. You have a unique opportunity to truly witness to people, to truly be an example.
The Bible says, don't worry, saying. You'll be, see, if I didn't add that third word, I say, okay, don't worry. You're like, okay, wait a minute. This is a worrisome time. Okay, here's where it starts. Don't worry, saying. If you're tempted to worry, don't speak. Don't let that, because let me tell you, your words have power. The Bible says with your words, you're justified. With your words, you're condemned. You don't want to speak worry because that condemns you. So what do? Man, you have a worrisome thought. You counter it with a promise of God. See, and we're not looking for anybody to stimulate or motivate us, man, to be more than conquerors. Man, we've got that hidden in our heart. When Pastor Sandy got out of our surgery the following day, I ran into one of the surgeons early in the morning at the elevator. And he said, hey, how you doing, Reverend? I said, man, I'm good. I said, man, how's Sandy doing? He goes, she's okay. And was walking off. I said, whoa, wait a minute. What? He goes, yeah, she's okay. I'm like, okay. And I walked up and everybody else is beaming. But I didn't need that guy to say, hey, she's the head, not the tail. She's above and not beneath. Because I'm the one professing that in her life. And she's professing that in her own life. That's who we need to be. And it's like this. And the word says, 1,000 will fall at your left and 10,000 at your right hand, but you'll not be harmed. I mean, that's who we have to be.
Right.
We've got to be stalwart. We've got to be immovable on this. Man, and it's easy for me. I was raised by a hard-headed man. Well, I'm going to be hard-headed. Man, my wife's hard-headed. Man, we're resolute in the faith. We are not going to waver. And the Bible says this. Somebody's got to spur my memory here. The Bible says, I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Yeah. Well, let me help you. And let me be prophetically in your life. You're in the land of the living right now. Why? Because you're listening to people proclaim God's promise. So you're in the land. I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Don't lose heart. You're going to see the goodness of God because you live in the land of the living.
That's really good. You're good for one more?
Yeah.
All right. How do you establish the kingdom of God in my own heart or in your own heart?
Well, it's established by our words. That's how I think, like, you're like, well, I believe it. Okay, the Bible says you believe unto righteousness, you confess unto salvation. It materializes. You're rescued, you're restored, you're made whole with nothing missing and nothing broken by what you say. And so that's where the word seed. So when I read the logos of God, man, I speak the rhema or the power of God, and that's what's sown in my life. So the direction I'm going, if this is my direction and I'm speaking the truth and that seed, when I walk into it, I'm walking in harvest. And the harvest is plentiful, but we've got to speak that word. That's the only way this works. It's the spoken word of God.
Yeah, I think that's good. We've got to obviously have the word of God in our heart. And understanding authority, the Roman centurion got it. And he understood that whenever he was under authority, he had authority. So we've got to be a people that come under the authority of the word of God. And
love,
I think
that.
It's so important that we execute. Even earlier, whenever we're talking about a tithe, why are we talking about that now? Because there's pressure from the pandemic and from the world for you to get to not do certain things. And then you come, you're under cover from that protection. What's that protection? It's that the devourer is rebuked from you, and that the heavens open up. You've got to submit to the word of God, and whenever you submit, then you have the authority of it. If we don't have it in our heart to speak, it's hard to know what to submit to. So we've got to spend ample time memorizing the promises of God and be ready to communicate it back to the thoughts that come that are from the world. And then we've got to be ready to submit all in the same vein. And the moment you submit to the word of God, you have the authority of that word. Anything you submit to inside of the word, you have the authority of that immediately. You have the authority of that protection, that cover, and that empower, and that power automatically in a story, game over.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,000%. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Binge prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, binge is like the new word now, you know? Well, the Bible says binge prayer, okay? It's real simple. Pray without ceasing, binge prayer. The Bible says preach the word, profess, proclaim the word in season and out of season. In season when, man, things are going great. Out of season when it's like, oh my gosh, how's, your mind might be, the fiery dart that hits you is, how's this going to work in this dilemma? Let me tell you, God's word is built for the battle.
Yeah.
We're built for this. We're built for the battle. I'm telling you, what's interesting is, man, what do you hear? I hear a party. No, it's the sound of war. Man, we're not here to throw a party. Man, we're here to bring captivity. See, think about that. Our mission is to bring captivity captive. We're in a pandemic. We're quarantined. We're held captive. What are we doing? Man, let's go on the internet and bring captivity captive.
That's good.
No, I think that is you, because worrying, it doesn't add a moment to your life. So for me, it's whether you worry or not, that's not going to change the fact whether you, because I think everybody's afraid of contracting the virus. So I mean, worrying about getting the virus and not getting it, it's, that doesn't change a thing. You got to stand on the promise and that you are healthy and whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. I mean, we've got to the point where we have our kids repeat it, and it's because I want that coming out of their mouth.
That's great.
When, oh, I don't feel good, it would be, oh, so when the flu went around, it went through our house, and we let the kids, when they went into quarantine, we let them have their iPad. They only get their iPad when we're on airplanes, because that's the only time anyone ever gets iPads for anyone that talks to my children. And they got their iPad, and so after that, they would say, oh, I don't feel good, I'm sick, I need my iPad. It's like, no, that's what, change how you're talking. And even then, and it seems so strict, but in all reality, I want that so ingrained in them that they are healthy and whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. And no matter what comes at us, we're going to come out on top. And for me, it's a mindset. And I think that's, this whole thing is just a mindset. Whether it be hitting the reset button on your life, the reset button on your family, putting everything pause, just getting back to the, we hear essential, non-essential. Well, what's essential in your life?
Right.
What's essential for your family? I mean, Dad and I were talking a couple days ago, and Little League controlled families. I would plan my day out around whatever time the Cardinal game started. We haven't had sports in like a month, and we are still good. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we've made it. And it, for me, it's just a mindset. What is your mindset? If you're dealing with things generationally, break it. If you are dealing with things in your home, break it. When that flu went through our house, I went around, and this might seem extreme, but I went around and anointed my doors with oil because I was staking a claim that this house was the Lord's and not whatever's on the outside.
That's right.
And so it's just taking the stand. This is a great opportunity to A, teach your kids, but then B, show them by example and keeping your mind in check. If you're a worrier, maybe you don't get on social media. I know the memes are hilarious, but is it worth it?
Yeah.
Because something's going to be bad. It's going to be doom and gloom. So instead of that, get in the word, pray. Bench prayer, I think, is huge. It's the past few days when I'm actually in the car. I don't just turn on the radio because it's like, no, I just need to keep my mind in order. I need to make sure that I'm thinking about the right things and making sure that everything is in order because it's the small foxes. Yeah. And I think this is an opportunity for us to find those small foxes.
Yeah, that's really good.
Very good. Thank you, Taylor, Ryan, of course, Caitlin. Caitlin, can you come back next week?
I'll be here. I don't think I have anything else on my schedule, Pastor
Bill. You can't travel. The first time in anybody's memory, less than 100,000 people got on an airplane in America.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yesterday.
So
I was thinking, because we're cardinal people, you know that, because we're Christians. We love God. We're cardinal people. This might be the best spring Cub fans have ever had. No baseball.
They're still in it.
We're going to get some mail for that. Hey, man, thank you for being here. We went a little bit over, but great questions, great responses. It's an honor. I want to close this with three quick points and then a salutation. God loves you. Please know that. God knows your name, and God's doing a work in your life right now. Man, let that work be raising your kids right. Let that work be not freaking out about your money. Let that work be, man, new ideas that come from you binging prayer. So let me just close with this. As you go, preach.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.